Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. I'm your host, well, one of them, Ariane.
I'm Heidi.
I'm Stacy.
And this is brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. Today, we are going to talk about a teacher in Florida, a man who buys an airplane and decides to live in it, Instagram co-founders, and another surprise at the end. So stick around for that.
I love how the first story is just a teacher in Florida. Like, that explains so much.
That's all we need. All
there's
we need.
So many. Florida. There's so many there. Well, this particular teacher, her name is Diana Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto. She's an eighth grade school teacher. She's been teaching for 17 years. And this school that she recently started working at this year has a... Well, anyway, let me start over. So she got fired for giving students in her class zeros, like a 0%, for not turning in any homework. So...
She got fired?
She got fired for it. So apparently in the school handbook or the, what's it called?
Like the guidebook.
Right, for the teachers. Uh-huh. There's a clause in there that says you cannot give less than 50%. No zeros.
Even for nothing?
And that's what her argument was. She was like, how can I give 50% of nothing? Like, right. Nobody's turning in anything. Why would I give them 50%? They haven't turned in anything. And so that's what she's fighting for. However, she's also making a statement that in the student handbook, it says no zeros and then it shows the grading scale. But then right above no zeros, it says 0%, this, and this. She's like, that's confusing. And how can you make me give 50% to these kids who have turned in nothing? Mm-hmm. So,
see, I feel kind of... I don't want to say I feel good about this, because I don't. I think that's absolutely terrible. But this makes me feel slightly better, because I'm of the age to be a millennial, and millennials get this whole bad rap about, oh, you feel you're very special and snowflake, and you want everything for nothing.
Right.
But if she's an eighth grade teacher, that's kids who are not millennials. So I'm like, see, it's them also. Right. It's this next generation is really having this problem that you're supposed to get 50% for nothing. You can't even blame millennials anymore. That's
right.
Well, whatever now the next generation is.
They're going to blame us for, like, influencing kids now. Or something.
Right. It's all stimming.
It's all our fault still.
Everything is the millennials. I'm just like, really? Really?
And then it's just adding on to this, you know, what is it called? Privileged stuff.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, you need to give me 50%. It's like, you didn't turn in anything.
Right. I can do nothing and get 50%.
Right.
Yeah. The like participation badge type thing. Yeah.
Right. And it was so sad because apparently the principal just told her, you know, you can't do that. You got to go. And she was on a probation period since this was her first year at that school.
Oh.
And so she didn't get to say bye to her students or anything like that. So she had wrote them a goodbye note on her whiteboard that read, she was pretty honest with them. She said, bye kids, Mrs. Toronto loves you and wishes you the best in life. I have been fired for refusing to give you 50% for not handing anything in. Then she did the heart, love, Miss Toronto. And she took a picture of it, put it on her Facebook, and just kind of put it on blast out there. Like, this is what I got fired for. This is ridiculous. I'm going to fight it. All this stuff. And even some of her students kind of commented on her her post about it and was like, oh, we miss you. One student even told her, you showed me how to be responsible for my work and other things I do. I hope you don't ever forget me. And I was like, she is teaching them that you can't get something for nothing.
That's
you
not
know,
how life works.
Right.
Like, I feel I get, you know, and I think this stems from that whole thing that's been going since the 70s of, oh, we need to give kids good self-esteem so they can feel, you know, better about, like, yeah, but you didn't do anything.
Right.
It's like, I want you to feel good for at least doing something.
Exactly. Right.
You have to work with me here. Meet me halfway.
Right. Well, they started doing that with my son's baseball team a couple years ago. He doesn't play baseball anymore, but around the 9th, 10th grade level, they stopped giving out like championship trophies and, you know, first place medals, and then just gave every team a participation trophy. Oh, I was like,
they did that every year I played soccer. I played soccer from the age of 5 to 11. Every year I was like,
don't get
and
it.
Even as a kid, I was like, well, what's the point of this?
Right.
Yep. Like, everyone gets a trophy, so this trophy doesn't mean anything.
Right. Even the kid that doesn't, like, get a whole lot of playing time.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, well, you just showed up, so here's your trophy. It's like, what?
Yep.
Why would you do it?
Yep. I had the same thing. I got, like, trophy every year. Didn't do anything. Yeah. Or, I mean, minimally did things. I, like, ran. I don't even think I ever, like, got a goal.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
But I feel like to work this around, because I always wanted, like, I always root for the person who, like, got wrongly, you know, fired, or, like, with Serena Williams and her whole thing with the French Open and what she can't wear. I'm like, I want you to come back and find some way to beat this without breaking the rules.
Right.
It's like, I feel the only way to do that would be, like, there isn't anything out of anything. You don't get so many points out of so many points. It's just the max points you can get for this thing is whatever. And then at the end of the year, you do it sort of curved, where whoever had the most points, okay, that's what 100% looks like.
Right.
And everyone else goes from there. And it's just like, I'm going to sign this thing and I'm going to say the most points you can get for this are 17.
Right.
Random number. And then just go from there.
Exactly.
Rather than you get so many points out of so many points. But I just feel that's so... the pendulum has swung too far on the other side of how we should be treating children. It's like this... When this is the problem and the whole complaint they made about millennials. When they get out into the workforce, that's not how that works.
Right. It's crazy, too, because my best friend, her son, they do like how they have like short days or late start or half days. So she told me that this year at his high school, they have late start on Mondays. And I was like, what is that? You are teaching kids that they can party all weekend, be late to work or school on Monday just because you had, what is that? She's like, yeah, they don't even have to start until like 9:30. I was like, are you serious?
Well, okay, to be teenagers advocate, not even devil's advocate.
Right.
It is known in, you know, the health circles that teenagers, their body clocks are different, and so they tend to want to sleep in late. And there's been a lot of talk about just starting high school later.
Yeah, there has.
And why you're doing that when I'm completely out of high school, I'm very upset about. And if you're going to do that, also just keep going to college, because I used to be so upset about like my 8 a.m. college class, even though high school had started at like 7:30.
Right.
Somehow when you get to college, that 8 a.m. just can't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Schedule all your classes at 10:30 or something.
Exactly.
See if you can do that.
But I also feel like this doesn't prepare kids like for college or things like that, where if you don't turn anything in, you get a zero.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not, or like at work, if you don't turn anything in, you might get fired.
Right. Your performance is, you know.
I don't want to say I would hope you would get fired, but in what case you turn nothing in and you still don't get fired, I'm questioning that job.
This is like not even showing up. What's the point?
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. That was a crazy story to me. It was just, I feel bad for the teacher because it's like, you want to follow the school rules, especially this being her first year in that school. But she's also trying to teach the kid. I feel like she as a teacher is, you know, genuine about the kid's success. Because not a lot of teachers, they're just like, especially with their pay rate, they're like, here, I'm just here. You know, I'll follow the curriculum.
Bare minimum.
Exactly. And it's like, no, they need to know that you have to do some work to get any kind of credit. So.
Yeah. I do feel like she's trying, though. Like, she, like, tried to teach kids, like, responsibility. Right. And I guess some students are responding.
Right.
So she tried.
And, I mean, she did it for 17 years. So I imagine if this goes to court, you know, she's got that backup of, hey, I've got 17 years and, you know, my record there is pretty clean.
Right.
And you bring me to this really ridiculous thing that does not exist anywhere else of you get 50% for nothing.
Exactly.
Like, you get 50% at minimum. It's like, do I get it like 50% of my paycheck at minimum, even right? if I don't come into work?
Right. Exactly.
How that works.
It also feels like that could be like an HR issue, where if you have two different manuals that say different things, mm-hmm. like that could be an admin issue, not necessarily like a teacher issue. Mm-hmm. If it's right. just unclear, I feel like if she did go to court, she could say that.
Right.
Like that's like confusing materials.
Well, I think she did get a lawyer, and she's just waiting for a, she's waiting for a response from the school. I believe it was like Wade something school. I don't know. Something I do know.
Oh, Wade in Florida, the Wade.
Yeah.
Is that district?
Wade
County.
Something like that. Right. But they're saying, so she asked for a response as far as give me a reason that you fired me. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, because you were only on probation. This is your first year. You're mm-hmm. on your little mm-hmm. probationary period. We don't have to give you a reason. Mm-hmm. So like if you just broke one rule, then you're out, I guess.
Yeah.
One strike and you're yeah. out. And I was like, that's still not fair. Like she's obviously has 17 years under her, under her belt. She knows what she's doing. She's right. not, you know, an amateur. Like, this is her first teaching gig ever.
Right.
So,
also, I don't know. Poor Florida, man. All those Florida schools.
Right. This is, what are you teaching your kids?
Yeah, all just Florida, period. There's so much about Florida. That's I'm just rough. I know I'm from California, and we're very different in a number of ways, but what are you doing, Florida? I'm just like, I'm questioning a lot.
Just another drop in right. the bucket.
Well, we're going to take our first break. Please stay tuned. We're going to come back and talk about the man and his plane.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
Next story is about
a man who buys an old airplane and turns it into a home, his home, and it's actually a Boeing 727 airplane.
Okay. So it's a big plane.
It's a pretty big plane. And so what he does, the guy's name is Bruce Campbell. He's from Oregon. He's retired. He used to be an electrical engineer. And so he, of course, knows all about the inside of this plane and how to tear it apart, maybe put it back together. I wouldn't because I don't know anything about electrical other than the on and off switch on the wall. So
just unplug it and plug it back in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, he actually got this idea of turning a plane into a home from this lady in Mississippi who, unfortunately, her previous residence burned down. And she was like, I'm just going to buy an airplane, turn it into a home. Hers looks really nice. I saw pictures of it. She has floral, you know, curtains around and on her bed. It looks really girly. It's cute. But his whole thing was, is that he wants to build them because he feels like they're more environmentally
friendly.
Yeah and they last for years, apparently. The what they make airplanes with, the metal or
the materials
material can last hundreds and hundreds of years, like through weather, all that stuff. And his whole thing is, what did he say, he wants to shed a beautiful and syndicating jetliner. No.
He wants to shed it?
No. She said shredding. I'm sorry. Shredding a beautiful and syndicating jetliner is a tragedy and waste and a profound failure of human imagination, because he feels like you can do, like with the pieces or parts, the chairs, the anything, he feels like you don't just throw it away. Why would you just waste it, turn it into something, you know, awesome? So he, when he was younger, I want to say like in his 20s is what it said, he bought like 10 acres of land in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And he found this plane for only $100,000. I say that as if I have that in my bank.
Let me run out and get one.
Right. Well, he found it. It was a retired one. So he's like, let me just buy this. it took him $120,000 to move it from the airport in Oregon to his plot of land. And they actually had to like chop the wings to move it and everything. But he told the other people who were helping him move it, I want to be able to reattach the wings. So don't just kind of rip them off or cut them in a way to where he can't reattach them. But his whole goal was, you know, he just wants to live out in on his land. Is very spacious. It has trees all over. It's gorgeous. And he just really likes the green in there. So he was already planning on downsizing and living in like small, what are they called?
Tiny homes.
Yeah. On his property. Mm. But as he was living in one of those, it got rat infested or mice infested. Oh, no. So, that's what forced him to just, you know, okay, I got to step up my game on getting this plane, you know, gutted out and turned into my actual home. For that, which is crazy though, because he only lives in this house for 6 months out of the year. This dude lives in Japan for the other 6 months out of the year.
He must have did really well as an electrical engineer then. You know, he's going to buy a plane and pay for that and then go to Japan. And wow.
Well, so yeah, he does seem to be doing pretty good for himself. And actually in Japan, he wants to do the same thing. Is buy an airplane, except he was saying that he wants to buy a Boeing 747, which are a lot larger. I think they're the ones with the two aisles in the airplane. And he wants to do the same thing in Japan. So he just has a plane in Japan and a plane here in Oregon. Not here, but, you know, on the east coast of Oregon. But
he can't just fly it back and forth?
It doesn't fly right now. So,
Dude, what were you doing? You're trying to be attached to the wings, but the plane can't fly? What's the point of that?
I think he just wanted to keep it intact for visual purposes, I guess.
Just for curb appeal, you know?
There's so much that's cool about this idea, and then otherwise there's so much that I'm just like, but what? You have to... Okay.
Right?
This just seems like a lot of money for a thing that doesn't even work as it's supposed to.
True, but then you have to pay for, like, fuel costs and, like... He'd have to live on a runway.
Right.
True. You'd have to live big planes. Near. Yeah.
But I feel like if he's going to Japan to put the bigger plane in Japan, that doesn't make sense. I feel like he'd put the bigger plane in Oregon, which I feel like you have more space in Oregon than you do in Japan. I guess
maybe
in my
that's
mind,
why he wants the bigger plane in Japan.
Because he can.
Housing in Japan, I think, often is smaller.
Yeah, it's much smaller.
You would find it here. So it's like, I'm going to be special in Japan. Not only will I have a plane house, I'm going to have a big plane house. I'm going to have lots of room in this. All you other Japanese regular houses will be jealous.
Does he have like a family that lives on the plane with
him? No, he doesn't. He's never been married. He actually, from the article I read, he's not too keen on the idea of marriage or, you know, having children.
He doesn't want to share his plane. It's
Right. He seems like a very... particular man.
Yes, yes.
Specifically want things just because and not even for their actual usefulness.
Right.
Maybe this is just me, but this fits my stereotype of an engineer, I guess.
Right. Very particular.
Very particular.
Yeah. Well, he said he spends like his whole day just touching it up, fixing it up, because he has tourists that will drive by. So I guess you can see his land and just the airplane from a main road or something. Okay. And they just walk up and are like, hey, let me look inside your plane. And there was an interesting story. He shared that one time some passerbys saw his plane and he had the stairway open and it's like illuminated. And they just walked up and he has like this little makeshift shower in and he was showering when they walked in and he's like, oh wait, give me a minute. But it was funny.
I would never just see a plane and just be like, let me just walk in it, you know? Like that's weird. I mean, I guess that means I'm not a trespasser, but
congratulations.
Yeah, right. thank you.
But see, and I was just thinking, if I'm gonna spend all this money to make a plane my house and then it doesn't even fly, well then screw that, I'm gonna go completely the other direction and make it look like a crashed plane. Right. So I'm like living in like a Survivor film or something, so it looks crashed but it's perfectly like steady and stable and has
trees.
All the, you know, running water and everything. It's like, why are you gonna have a perfectly nice looking plane that looks like it can fly and then can't? I'm just like, I want a thing that looks like I can use it and actually use it.
does he have the plane like bolted into the ground? Because I just think about like if a windstorm came or something, right? Like the wings are out there. He could just like.
Right. No, he doesn't. They're just kind of set out. So it's an uneven property. His property is uneven. So one of the plane wheels, mm-hmm. I guess the back wheels, is up on. It looked like 6 or 8. What are those what's
like,
the word?
Like a pallet?
Pallets, yes. Oh. Wooden pallets. That and the other ones.
Yeah, does that hold it up? That doesn't seem like enough.
I guess there's special pallets.
Like, even with that, it's like you don't even need a windstorm, just a good, you know, rain shower.
Or just someone to just like lean on it wrong, you know?
The ground will get all soft.
Well, he has it set up pretty nice. And I mean, it's a pretty heavy plane. I imagine it's huge, so it's heavy. True. So I mean, how much, maybe a tornado, if a tornado went through Oregon, can pick it up and toss it. But he spent several years just kind of making it his home. So there's a nearby like water well, so it has running water in there. Of course, he was an electrician, so he got handled. But he still kept like the floor lighting. Cool. Or some of the lights at night.
Did he keep like the seats? Because I feel like that'd be really gross.
He kept, what was it, 3 rows of seats on just one side though.
Okay.
For just like seating area, which I was like, but they were like back to back. So I was like, take out every other one. Yeah. So at least you can have some leg room or something. Because he looked like a pretty tall guy. He looked like he was about 6'2", 6'3". So.
Or if you're going to do that, take it from like, you know, the fancy first class area and have your seating area. Right. Don't be just like regular, you know, economy row. Why would you do that?
Right. And what I saw too is he sleeps on a futon. Okay. So it's just that's his couch and his bed, and it's just out on one side where he took all the chairs out. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, I was like, why wouldn't you put that, if you're an engineer and you're able to get all the lighting situated and everything, why wouldn't you put it underneath for some privacy? Like where they throw the baggage and, you know, people's suitcases and stuff like that? Just because I feel like there should be a way to get down there, and then that could be your own personal, like, private area. Right.
Or I mean, buy like a private plane that was already nicely done.
Exactly. Has beds already in it and everything like that.
Huh. So if his last tiny house got infected with like, the word? Yeah, all the rats were there. Mm-hmm. Why would that? I don't know. I'm just thinking your plane would still have that problem. I'm thinking about like the luggage storage. Well, that's where the rats are. Right. So he doesn't want to live down there.
I'm having a hard time not just automatically putting it as snakes on a plane. I want to stay away from that pun, but you did actually have a house with rats. Right. So and of course the plane would have snakes, right?
Right. And he lives in like the woods of Oregon too. So
he's got to have critters on there.
Yeah. I mean, I hope he's got, you know, he made sure everything was like closed and re-insulated.
I mean, he left his stairs down, so I don't know.
That much
ventilation, I feel like, because they're like suction, you know, it's tight, so you would have to have.
I feel
some
like he doesn't have
reflux.
A lot of wind, like he doesn't have any large windows except the cockpit,
right? And the ones you can't open,
right? They're all just tiny little windows.
There's through. A number of problems with having a plane as
so
your
does
tiny
he have a lot of like room in there? Like, is it just one room, like a studio apartment, but it's a plane?
I imagine it's not like a studio apartment. Well, yeah, because you have your, he keeps the lavatories. Those are his bathrooms, like the front.
Really?
Back. Yeah. And then, well, the back one, I think, is where his, not, I think, from the picture that I saw, the back one where the water flow is for that lavatory is his shower area.
Oh.
And then the front one up by the cockpit is
like where the toilet and sink is. Right, right.
And he kept all the stuff in the cockpit because he was like, oh, I want to, you know, like, I like to pretend like I'm flying a plane.
Just be able to fly.
Well, I don't think he has his pilot's license, so I don't feel like he would be able to just take it by himself.
Yeah, just the fuel costs of a Boeing would be huge, though.
I mean, but okay, you spent like nearly $250,000 on this, just buying and moving this house.
Right.
Not even like, you know, actually making it livable on the inside. If I had $250,000 to make a tiny house, my tiny house would be awesome and also movable, because that's half the point, I think, of a tiny house.
Right.
Like, especially if you're putting it in a thing that was, you know, it's one thing if, and I've seen this where people will buy like shipping containers and make a tiny house after that. And if you want to be like, oh, I want to recycle something for my house. Okay, fine. That works perfectly well.
Right.
But if you're actually going to buy a house that's a vehicle and then not, that vehicle can't actually move, what was the point of buying the vehicle?
Right.
You could have bought so many other things. Other than a vehicle that was once meant to move and then can't move.
Right.
Sounds like he's definitely into the the visual appeal of it.
Right. He is too, because in the article it said that he hosts outdoor concerts. One of the half wings, because it's not like fully chopped off, is where he made it like safe for where bands can play on the wings.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then people can just stand out on his property.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was like, okay, well, at least you're making money, because I feel like they would have to pay to see that stuff.
Oh, boys and toys.
Right.
Too much money or something.
We're going to go ahead and take another break, and we'll be back with other social media news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Back, everyone, to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. We just recently talked about a man who changed his airplane that he bought into a home, and about a teacher who got fired for giving zeros. We're going to move on to our next topic, which was Instagram's co-founders, the two, Kevin Systrom and Mike Krieger. Well, apparently they decided to leave and resign. And from the article I was reading, it seemed that they chose to leave or resign because they were having some issues with the Facebook people, because I guess they kind of combined the thing.
Okay.
And they weren't really, you know, too big on what Facebook's idea of how they can better Instagram was. And they just feel like their whole core mission was being compromised with the influence of Facebook. So, or the Facebook, you know, people who were initially started working there too. Mm-hmm. So Facebook
bought Instagram.
Mm-hmm. They bought Instagram in 2012.
Right.
But then the founders of Instagram were still like on the board or whatever.
I think the founders, basically Instagram was doing their own thing, and then Facebook bought them because Instagram was becoming competition for Facebook. So then Facebook owns Instagram, but Instagram still kind of just does whatever they have been doing, and then they take suggestions and I guess maybe orders from Facebook about like what Facebook wants them to do, and they kind of have to do it.
Right. And the co-founders wanted to keep it specifically, you know, just pictures and captions. Keep it simple, you know, because Facebook is all about, you know, this is my status, write out your whole life story for the day, you went to the gym, you ate some food type of thing, you know. So they were like, no, we want to keep our pictures, we want to keep, you know, short captions, stuff like that. But it was on, you know, rocky areas when Facebook, you guys know what that means, right?
Yeah.
CEO.
FBI. I was like, the FBI got involved.
Well, the Facebook CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, asked them to do the IG stories, kind of like how Snapchat does theirs. And they're like, we're not trying to, you know, do things like everybody else. Like, yeah, we want to keep up and keep updated with, you know, how we can stay involved with social media and people using our product. But we want to keep it with our core pictures, you know, just visuals, not just your whole life story. So,
yeah, I mean, of all the social medias, I kind of like Instagram the best, just because it is sort of the most like here's what it is. Yeah. Take it or leave it. And not let me literally tell you my whole life story and everything I think about everything.
Right.
I like it better, too. Just because, you know, a picture speaks a thousand words. You know, that good old saying. And then it's like, you don't really have to caption a whole lot. And like, when I'm on Facebook and I see these novels, I'm like, I don't want to read all that. Why?
Too long, didn't read.
Right. Right. So.
Yeah. Also, Instagram just has like the continuous scroll feature, which I feel like. When I was reading another article about this, the founders of Instagram, or one of the founders, was saying that what he likes about Instagram and what he feels like Instagram is meant to do is to kind of like bring you joy, basically through like pretty pictures.
Right.
And like when they first started, they were like tried to curate who would get on Instagram and who was going to use it, because they wanted to set the precedence of like, this isn't Facebook where you just post any picture. Like you try and post nice pictures, or like, you know, everyone Instagrams their food or things like that.
Right.
And that's what they were trying to go for. I mean, even though, like, you can post other things, like, you know, so-and-so's mom still posts a picture of their dog or whatever, or their family trip, but it is a lot more, like, curated in a way that I think is more visually appealing than Facebook. It isn't just, like, about where your life is going.
Right. Yeah, I actually, I really particularly like the ones who, I don't know, sort of keep it a bit more mysterious. So it's not like, you know, it doesn't seem like you seriously took a picture of your kid like every 5 minutes.
Right.
You're getting like a flip book of your kid. But it's just sort of like, oh, really pretty, you know, shot that I'm not exactly sure where it is, to keep it sort of mysterious. Of, I'm almost creating the stories in my head of what these pictures are.
Right.
They're just pretty pictures, and your life looks way more interesting than mine. And I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I'm fine. I like that. The best of the people who use Instagram that
I
follow.
I think sometimes Instagram could have almost a more artistic appeal to it, because that is like, if you go into a gallery or a museum, you don't necessarily know what this picture is about, or what the artist was going for, but you get to like read into it. And I really can't believe I just compared Instagram to an art gallery, but
it has a century. We're there,
right?
I know, but it has kind of that feeling. And I do know that, especially in like the art community, Instagram is more important. Like, artists can be found and have whole careers based off of Instagram and being found on Instagram and things like that. Like, it can be more than just like, I was at the park.
Yeah. Or like, I don't have one, but I had been considering getting a tattoo. And so I was looking at, you know, the different local artists here and what they could do, and if they could match the style that I wanted. And I wouldn't even consider an artist who didn't have, like, a good Instagram for their tattoos, which I think is so useful for, like, a tattoo artist. Here is exactly what my work looks like, and you can just scroll through. And I was like, you know what? I wasn't even considering a tattoo like that, but that is awesome.
Right.
That is beautiful. Love it. Like, yeah, especially for people who do art, I think Instagram is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And any kind of art, because that's how I found my son's barber too,
because
I'm not gonna just take him in and, you know, let you butcher him and then be mad about it later. I'm like, I'm gonna look at your pictures, see your profile, and you know, our portfolio, because it's like Heidi said, that is an art gallery, basically internet style, so you can get your visual there. It's like, I like that, no, I kind of don't, so don't waste your time on going, or maybe just go.
Or like, even with celebrities, for people who I've seen on Instagram, I like it more where, rather than it's like, oh, you took, you know, essentially a face front selfie in front of Inter, you know, really awesome place that I've never been here. It's like you're taking a picture of a book or a flower or a thing where I'm not exactly sure where you are. And it feels more like I'm getting, you know, the more private side of your life than the anything I could get from like TMZ or whatever.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
I did read that with the founders leaving, a lot of people feel like this is like the end of an Instagram era.
Right.
Like, what we were talking about, I feel like, is what the Instagram founders wanted. And so I think they're saying, especially because Facebook did not buy up Snapchat. Snapchat refused to be bought by them. Right. I feel like they're trying to be more like Snapchat now. They see like the market is open for them because they're doing better than Snapchat.
I don't
like Snapchat. Yeah.
I think Snapchat's interesting, but it's not exactly my style. But yeah, I think Facebook's just having a 2018 is being an interesting year for Facebook.
Yeah.
Let's just
say
that they are having some struggles. And so especially with that, and now the founders of Instagram leaving essentially because of Facebook, it's just like, Facebook seems to be ruining everything. What are you doing?
It is. Did you hear how it said 50 million profiles could have been
hacked
or hacked? That was crazy.
I mean, everyone has my data, I'm sure. Everyone knows everything about me.
Right.
That's the one time where I'm like happy that I'm not really anybody. It's right. Like, you have my data. What are you going to do with it? Right. It's not that important.
How interesting of a person am I? I feel like you'll just give it back.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, here's your information. Yeah, you're not that great.
You don't have enough in your bank account. I'll just go to the next person.
It's like, that's not worth anything on the dark web. It happens. Right.
Yeah. There's no commas.
The dark eBay. No one wants my stuff.
Right. Exactly. Oh, gosh. Well, that was... they did say they were on another project, though. They were starting
the co-founders.
Oh, right. Okay. They're looking forward to a new chapter in their life, and the story that I read is they have a new project. So I don't know if they're just gonna switch it off and do their own other IG. I don't know, or keep a lookout on what new apps are coming out with these guys.
Yeah, most definitely.
Something like that. Yeah. And on a last note, for the end of this GSMZ Social Media News Podcast episode, I just want to let everybody know that tomorrow is International Podcast Day. Well, don't know if you guys knew that.
So we're recording on Saturday.
A little early,
on Sunday.
Yesterday.
So when you hear it, it'll be yesterday.
This, well, if you're assuming you hear it when it posts, if you're listening to it like, 6 months from now, never mind. But
on the 30th, it is International Podcast Day.
Yes.
Yep.
I have complained a number of times, and Sarah's not here, so I can continue to complain about not knowing the specific, really inter-random dates here. Usually I'm upset because it was, you could go get a free Slurpee or a free ice cream or a free, whatever.
And pancakes.
I'm like, why are people not telling me about the free food days? I need to know this, people. Let me know.
Right.
Well, I feel like if it's International Podcast Day, I feel like we should get something, you know?
I mean, I hope your podcast is free. I've never actually paid for a podcast. So you get free podcasts every day.
Yeah, right. It's International Podcast Day every day.
Every day.
Right? But I'm saying we as hosts should get something. I want some appreciation
high fives.
Putting podcasts.
High five to yourself.
So if the listeners out there in Listen Land, just hit us up on social media and tell us how much you like us so we feel better about not getting anything else on International Podcast Day.
I'll take that. I'll take some validation.
We do this for the listeners. So we'd like, just a little, hey, you guys are great back.
Just a little something back.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. Thank you very much.
And even if not, we're great anyway.
Yeah. We are. So we don't need that.
We acknowledge our greatness, but we'd like you to acknowledge it too if you have the time.
Right. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode. And on that note, we'll talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.